Silver's still only 60% of the way to its old high, and gold is continually making new highs. So history tells us that silver gets dragged along all the time with gold. And so when silver breaks 34, 35, we could see this thing going to $40 pretty fast. That's a big move.
Jim McDonald, Kootenay Silver, good morning to you. How are you, my friend?
Good, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing really, really well. A lot of crazy things happen in the macro sense with the silver market. Want to discuss that with you real quick. Silver's been just really on a tear, really in the past week to 2 weeks. And it has a great setup. What's your opinion on why it's ripping here?
I don't even think it's really got going yet, but it is ripping in the last couple of weeks, and that's just going to be a small compared to what we believe is coming. So this thing is set up really well, as you've noted. You said earlier before the interview that the futures market's looking incredible on it. Well, it's going to have its day, in our opinion. Silver's still only 60% of the way to its old high, and gold is continually making new highs. So history tells us that silver gets dragged along all the time with gold. And so when silver breaks 34, 35, we could see this thing going to $40 pretty fast. That's a big move. If we look at the last year, 12 months ago, I think we were only at $22 silver. Now we're $32. So when this thing goes, the silver price really goes. We've got tremendous leverage to the silver price, of course, with our ounces in the ground and our new discovery. But on the macro silver, I mean, we're very bullish. Personally, I think we're just on the beginning of a real big breakout here, and that silver is going to hit those old highs and break right through them. So that's going to be really interesting when that happens.
Well, I got to tell you something. You sound a lot like my friend Rick Rule. And just for the record to all my listeners, I have no idea if Rick is an investor or not. And this is not an endorsement in that sense. But that being said, he confirms everything your suspicion that you said. And you made a comment, well, it's not really ripping. It is ripping, but it's not really anything to get excited about yet. And I just remember a conversation I had. It's been about 9 months ago. He's like, everybody's excited because silver's up a few bucks. I'm looking this thing to go up to 50 plus all-time highs. And that's very typical of a silver bull. And the gains you see in the stocks and his words are just outright goofy. It's really important to be, to get it now, get your favorite stocks now before that really huge move. Let me ask you, if you could, just sticking with the macro that I want to talk about Kootenay Silver here, is what do you think is going to be a catalyst for a really big move up? Or is it just, is it just building the pressure building that's up right now?
The pressure's building. It's the poor man's gold. And it's a monetary asset in addition to being a huge industrial metal on top of it. So when those two meet in terms of demand, you really get at explosive upside happening. And then you see moves in silver like you are incredible. And that's when it really rips. And when I say this hasn't started to rip yet, that's what I mean. When it really rips, this move now is going to be not even noticeable. So you've got that component. Silver always gets drug up with gold. It's as a monetary asset, and that you've got this huge growing industrial demand and an ever tightening supply, reports of above ground stocks being vastly depleted. And so a trigger, who knows? You know, I never know of all my experience looking at these markets, whether it's silver metal or gold metal or something else, really difficult to put a finger on most of the time. You can always find a reason, but but what is it really? And in the fall, we had a great move hitting 34, 35 silver, real big move in the fall. That might have been to do with Russia announcing that the central bank of Russia announcing they're starting to accumulate silver as bullion. And so, but maybe not, I don't know. But something got it going, and something will get this going again. And when it hits 34, 35 again, I think it may be on its way to 40 now. And my own personal feeling is I think we're getting really close to that move that's going to take it to 50 and eventually beyond.
Yeah, those are my feelings as well. I think we're right there. And I've experienced some bull markets in silver and gold before, but also I also think that I'm going to be surprised at the upside here. Now let's get to specifically the silver stocks. What should investors be looking for in evaluating a company? Should they be looking at jurisdiction? Should they be looking at grade? Should they be looking to ounces in the ground? How should they evaluate? And then what really separates you guys from everybody else?
Yeah, well, they should be looking at all those things. And then on top of that's management. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick Rule, you mentioned earlier, and that's one of his big things is picking the horses. And so projects, really important, of course. Grade is important. Ounces in the ground, important. Jurisdiction, important. And management, important. Mm-hmm. And so in the case of Kootenai Silver, we've got great management depth and ability to raise money, ability to find. We've found three deposits already. We're in our fourth discovery now. We have experience and have done ourselves a discovery from grassroots prospecting with a boots and hammer up to resource definition, defining these discoveries through drilling up to resources, and then beyond the feasibility mine build, and then mine operations, and then financing every one of those stages. So for a junior company, that depth, you know, bench depth, if you will, is pretty, pretty incredible. And so we've been at this a long time and have had some pretty big successes. And my introduction to Mexico was now 24 years ago when we went down to look at a project that Placer Dome and Kennecott had for sale in Mexico with a shell company we had called National Gold. And this property, it was right at the bottom of the gold market at 200. I think when we went down, gold was $300 an ounce, if you can believe it. And let that sink in. So nobody wanted gold. Everybody at the PDAC in Toronto, the big mining convention in Toronto, which is international, 30,000 people, they were walking around converting their junior exploration companies into dot-com companies. And they would ask us what we're doing with our company, National Gold, and we would tell them, well, we're actually looking for a gold deposit to buy. And they'd look at us like we had a third eye in the middle of our forehead. And, you know, we believed that the gold price is going to turn around very firmly. And anyway, we went into this process of bidding on this deposit Mulatos, and we're lucky enough to win it. And a whole bunch of serendipity had to go along the way that removed some of the mid-sized guy miners that should have been buying it, but they were broke. And so then gold went from 280 when we signed the deal down to 265 right away. You couldn't even buy a meeting with somebody in Toronto. The interest was that low. And we ended up partnering with Alamos Minerals, John McCluskey and Chester Miller, to help us finance this thing in a JV arrangement. And that worked out extremely well, ended up merging those companies a couple years later. And then within about 2 years after that, this is 03 and 05 or 06, we were in commercial production there. And that was the formation of Alamos Gold. And I stepped off that board in 2012. So you have real direct experience there. And is part of the point. The other point is it pays to be contrarian and to really understand what the macro is doing. I mean, we really believed the gold price was going to take off at some point, recover. We weren't thinking of gold busting $1,000 like it did about 4 or 5 years later, but we knew it was going to go. And just like silver, that's our feeling with silver right now.
Yeah. They brought up some great points on the macro. Gold leads silver typically, as again, my friend Rick Rule would say. I think this is, if you look up the imbalance of the gold silver ratio right now, silver has a lot of catching up to do. And I do not see gold coming down with all of these central bank buying here. So there's a lot to love here. Now, you mentioned about Kootenay having a great management, and I would agree with that. You really want to bet on the jockey, and then they're going to pick the right horse here. So, but talk about the horse in the sense, what ounces do you have in the ground now? You had a new discovery. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So we're four horses, if you will. We've got three discoveries already, three different deposits, Promontorio, huge low-grade diatreme, silver, gold, lead, zinc deposit. Then a second one called La Negra. It's small, but could work out really well for a small operator. Potential real high margins, open pit, good grade, leaches well. Then La Ceguera, a third deposit with the resource estimate on it in the famous Parral district. Huge upside there. Our drilling only goes down to approximately 150 meters in depth, and south of us, 30 kilometers, they've been mining for 450 years, and they're down to 2,000 meter depth, and we're sitting right at surface. So incredible upside there. There's over 60 million ounces at La Ceguera, 51.5 in the M&I, and the rest in inferred, silver only. Total silver equivalent M&I in those three deposits is 214 million ounces and another almost 55 million in the inferred category. And then the fourth discovery, which we've been actively drilling for the last few years here, Columba, classic high-grade vein system. And so grade works at any price or any silver price. Yeah, grade's really important. And this is a vein system, classic. It's not been eroded. We've got it preserved right to the very top edge of that deposit, which is an incredible thing in itself. And the footprint is about 4K by 3K, which is similar to other well-known districts or recent discoveries in Mexico, including Las Chispas that was just sold to Coeur. That's around 140 million ounces. We got a similar footprint in aerial view of that one. And then Panuco, which is over 300 million ounces. So just physical size, we got a system that could be 100 million or multiples of 100 million ounces. And then the drilling really starts to tell the story because we've got multiple veins. We've drilled a lot of them, but not all of them. And we've got near 200 holes done now and almost 50,000 meters of drilling completed. We're just finishing the 20,000 meter program we started last year. And we'll get all those results. Will continue to come in until at least mid-March and maybe a bit beyond. And we're hoping that puts us in a position for a maiden resource by the end of April. And then we'll continue drilling while all this is going on. So there's going to be steady drill news coming out here. And so, you know, great projects, huge leverage. Two of the deposits, La Ceguera and La Negra, on paper, when you get into mid $30 price, starts to look really interesting. So we think those things particularly have huge leverage. And then all these ounces don't even include the Columba discovery yet. We don't even have a maiden resource. And that this current program of 20,000 meters hasn't even to find the edges of the zones that we know so far. So it's going to, whatever it is now in size, it's going to get bigger, and there's a lot more drilling needed and to come.
Got it. So this is me talking to all of our listeners and viewers. Really, what you, if you're building a portfolio, and this is advice, this is what I've done and done many times throughout the years, is you want to get in before the move. And you have a great opportunity right now because really the equity prices, especially in the juniors, are significantly depressed relative to the asset, either in the ground or the futures price. So there's this great opportunity now. It's almost like an arbitrage where you're buying, you're getting exposure to silver at a very low price. It's just not going to last, is what I'm trying to say, these prices here. Talk to me real quick about, I think one of the issues, and I think this has worked out for people like myself, investors like myself, as well as it could work out for investors, potential investors, is really properties in Mexico. I think that is the issues are getting worked out. I know that there was a freeze on open pit mining. What are your thoughts on that with the new administration? And where do you see that being headed?
Yeah, so very positive direction being taken here. Yeah, with the new administration, the president has come out and said, "Look, we need to reevaluate this idea of an open pit ban on open pit mining, because we need open pit mining for our critical minerals." We need the open pit mining for gravel. You need open pit mining for limestone, for cement. So, you know, it's needed, and they recognize that. So big statement, very positive. Tangible changes that are recent. They recently brought in a regulation where you can write off up to 56% of your capital cost on a project in the first year. So that's really helpful. That helps economics a lot on a new mining project. And so real tangible action. And there's other things that we hear about that are being discussed and talked about that are evolving. And so we don't know yet definitively, but a few things could have a real positive impact on the junior sector as well. So general tone has changed a lot. And actions have changed. So pretty optimistic and pretty happy about that.
Yeah. So about that, just to my viewers and listeners, is Mexico is very interesting to me. And what I mean by that, I think what you had probably 12 months ago, 18 months ago, you just had a dump in a lot of the juniors there just because of their stance or the previous administration's own stance on open pit mining. Directly, if you would, but that created an opportunity, I felt, for investors, is to wait and see what kind of direction this was going to go in. And it looks like we got a new administration. And Jim, please correct me if I'm wrong, that's very pro-mining, especially open pit mining. They're looking to not only do the wrongs, if you would, or just be a lot more receptive to this, but they're also making incentives for that, everything that I've heard. So just really confirming just what you said. So again, I do think this is quite the opportunity for investors, especially that want exposure to silver or gold in Mexico, just because of where the equities are at. They took a dump 12 to 18 months ago. And yeah, that's an opportunity now with all this getting resolved.
Yeah, there is an opportunity there. And we've been in Mexico over 15 years. Continually exploring is how we've made all these discoveries. And so really understand the country well. Our staff is all Mexican down there, except for one Argentine geologist. And the tone has certainly improved politically in Mexico. The big change, which is quite positive. Now we'll see how these other discussions go surrounding claim applications and things like that. That'll be hopefully next. But there's not only talk, but action, which is speaks louder than words.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jim, if people want more information about you guys and want to buy your stock, go ahead and give me your web address. How do they get in touch with you, as well as your ticker symbols and what exchanges you're traded on?
Yeah, so on the Toronto Venture Exchange, KTN. And kootenaysilver.com.
Excellent. All right. I will put all of this in the show notes below this on the YouTube video, as well as on the Apple podcast, as well as the Spotify podcast. Jim, love to have you on again here pretty soon. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of news trickling in. I don't want to say trickle. It might trickle at first, and then we'll be pouring in as we progress through the springtime. So yeah, I'd love to have you on again as soon as the news starts hitting.
Great. Looking forward to it, Andy. Thank you.
Thank you.